Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. I just gave a speech to a packed house at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills at Non-Essential. It is a quick, important speech about why we must elect President Trump and the stakes we are up against. It is a short summary, and I encourage you to send this to all of your friends, Non-Essential, my speech at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and it pertains to this election. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support our crusade as we go across the country to get President Trump elected. We are traveling like crazy. As you guys are listening to this episode, we're probably in a plane somewhere to Florida or to Arizona or to Minnesota, anywhere across the country, you name it, we're there, charliekirk.com/support. Time to re-elect President Trump. Here's why. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Thank you. It is great to be here. I feel like I'm returning home. We are crisscrossing the country. We have been in Florida, Maine, Minnesota, Georgia, Arizona, now here in California. And I got a call from my pastor, Rob McCoy, my dear friend, Kirk Cameron. And they said, Charlie, can you add a stop in Chino, California? I said, you know, there's a little bit going on in the country right now. But as soon as they said, this is a gathering around the idea that church is essential, I said, when, where, I'll be there immediately. Because what we are seeing happening in our country, and all of you know this, is that the church founded this country. Activist Christians that understood that our rights came from God, not from King George. That our rights came from God, not from government. In the first great awakening in our country, founded the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Around two big ideas, freedom and equality. Now, where do those words come from in the Bible? There's freedom, as mentioned many times. But Jesus Christ said something very interesting. And we didn't actually discover this until Tyndale started to translate the Bible from Latin to English. Now, understand that English was the peasant language, the common man's language. Prior, the common man was not able to read the Bible and dive into the living word of God. And Tyndale realized that when Jesus Christ said, on this rock, some people say, build my church, he said, ecclesia. And ecclesia was a secular term. He didn't say, on this rock, build my synagogue or temple. When you dive into actually what an ecclesia was at the time, it was this. It was a gathering of people concerned about their community in a Greek city-state that were exchanging ideas because they said they had a duty and a responsibility to make the world around them better. Now, why would Jesus choose that term? Do you know the two words that in secular Greek times they used that were the most important words to describe an ecclesia? Freedom and equality. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he said, on this rock, build my ecclesia. Because Jesus never wanted compartmentalized Christianity. He wanted comprehensive Christianity, where we're going to be in politics, we're going to be in the arts, we're going to be in science, we are going to be in government, we are going to be in the streets, we're going to be in schools. And what we have seen right now, in the last 6 months, we've made the worst mistake in the history of our country. Locking down America will go down as one of the worst decisions ever made by the political elite to try to keep you down. Now, mind you, who benefited from the lockdowns? Some people say, oh no, it's everyone paid an equal price. We're all in this together. That's not true. The average billionaire has seen their net worth increase by 20 to 30%. Jeff Bezos added $45 billion to his net worth. Amazon is more valuable than it ever has been, and America's billionaires are $675 billion richer. Yet most of you had to borrow money to pay medical debt, borrow money to keep just things together, maybe put things borrow money from a friend for payroll. It's harder than ever to be a middle-class American, yet the ruling class in this country were able to have the luxury of surviving the lockdown. And people say we're divided in America. That's not untrue. It's not necessarily a bad thing. And this is where I think the election is headed. I think the election is headed between one side of the country that has the luxury to say they can survive another lockdown. I think the divide in this country is one side of the country that says, I'm part of the Zoom and Skype class, and I can roll out of bed and get on a Zoom call and be able to survive another draconian one-size-fits-all government order. And then there's the muscular class, the 100 million people that wake up every single day. They have to wear a mask 8 hours to drive an Uber, fulfill an Amazon order, work in our restaurants. They're the backbone of our country, by the way. And they finally have a voice. They finally have a voice in a, albeit unlikely spokesperson, billionaire from New York, who came down the golden escalator and he started to do something you are not supposed to do. He did something you're not supposed to do. He started to say, you've been lied to. You've been misled. And he went up against 16 Republicans, the Bush dynasty, the Clinton dynasty, the social media tech companies, the mainstream media, outspent 10 to 1. And he won. But once he won, and we all remember that night, he did something you're really not supposed to do. He started to fulfill his promises. He actually moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He actually recognized the Golan Heights. And then he did even further than that. He said, I made a list for Supreme Court justices. And people said, who are you going to pick? Because the political elite in D.C., they say, no, you don't actually do what you tell your constituents. Like, that's called electioneering. We then do our own thing when we go to D.C. And the president said, hold on a second. In business, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, you lose a contract. And it turns out that the person that they say is the most immoral person ever has operated with more integrity, fulfilling the promises of the people that voted for him than anyone that we sent to D.C. in the last 40 years. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, most pro-life president in American history, most pro-Israel president, canceling the Iran deal, finally taking illegal immigration seriously before we lock down our country. The greatest economy in American history for blacks, Hispanics, Latinos, disabled women, the lowest income brackets in our country had the highest income gains, the largest middle class tax cut in American history, finally taking child sex trafficking seriously, peace between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. I could go through the list. Unbelievable. And yet, we all know this. When someone pursues the good, don't expect the enemy to lay still. What do? They spy on him through an intergovernmental coup and they think they could get away with it. They win back the House on a lie. Then they impeach him on another lie. Then we shut down the country because of an epidemiological Pearl Harbor that China sent us. 200,000 Americans dead. 100,000 small businesses closed. 1 out of 4 of young people have contemplated suicide in the last 90 days. Alcoholism, drug use, social isolation, school closures, young adolescent depression. Everything's on the way up. And despite all of that, despite everything they've thrown at this guy, leaking his tax returns, spying on the First Lady's private conversations, every single person in the White House that you could possibly find to throw a little bit of money for a nice lucrative book deal, because this is going to be the big one that's going to destroy Donald Trump, despite all of that. It's right. It's true. We don't control the tech companies. We don't control the universities. We don't control the government. We control the presidency, but I think we're starting to realize there's a whole nother level beneath it. We don't control the governor's mansion here in California. We don't control the corporate side of our country. Some of our churches have even disappointed us lately. But there's one thing that has the Biden campaign very nervous. There's one thing they really haven't figured out how to control. They've taken over everything, and we know it. You feel it, right? You feel like they've taken over all the institutions. But there's a reason why the founding fathers put 3 words at the beginning of the Constitution, because the one thing they haven't figured out how to control is you. That's what this election is about. It's who's in charge. Is it Peter Strzok? Is it the people at Google? Is it Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, or Hunter Biden and all that? The answer is so simple. Who's the sovereign in this country? Is it the ruling class? Or is it the people? Is it us? Because the last 6 months we have endured lies about the lockdowns, lies about the virus, lies about the school closing, lies about businesses, lies about everything you could possibly imagine. And despite all of it, The one guy that they said shouldn't run, won't win the primary, won't win any of these states, still wins the presidency, fulfills his promises, despite everything they've thrown at him 17 days out. Can you even imagine the type of individual that God has his hand on this man? So what do? We are so blessed to live in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Because despite all that power consolidation, despite the nonsense they teach your kids in schools, despite the social media companies trying to prevent things from being heard, despite all of that, you still have the power to be able to express your voice. And here's what I believe is going to happen. If we do our job, and every person listening to this right now, they get 10 people to the polls, they make phone calls, you knock on doors, you communicate to your friends, you vote, you get your other friends to do that. I truly believe that the ruling class in this country, they're in for a reckoning like they've never seen before. And that's why we're here today. If Biden wins, it'll be because the church let it happen. If Biden wins, it'll be because the church decided to pander to BLM, not the Fight for Life. If Biden wins, it'll be because the church said, embassy in Jerusalem doesn't mean anything, despite that being the place that our Savior Jesus Christ walked, taught, died, and rose again after 3 days. It's in your hands. It's in the churches in this area and across the country. And to everyone watching on the live stream right now, I could tell you, this race has tightened like you can't believe. It's a coin toss. It's a margin of error race in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in Florida. And who shows up? Who's going to make those compelling arguments? I'm traveling the country working harder than I ever have in anything in my entire life for this one election. And if I am able to go to college campuses and get young people excited about our country, the churches of this country can wake up and can rise up and can talk to their congregation around these incredibly important times. Benjamin Franklin was asked after the Constitutional Convention, so what kind of country do we have? And Ben Franklin smiled and he said, we have a republic if you can keep it. And in a way that only God could possibly work, you have a man that everyone said shouldn't be president, who's done more for the body of Christ, defending religious liberty, pro-life Israel. You know the entire list. And that's not even an exhaustive list for what he's done for our country. And so now this guy needs your help. I'm telling you right now, he's being outspent. He's being outgunned. He's being absolutely massacred in the media. And the media decides that they don't want to cover the fact that the son of the opposition candidate handed over 3 of his laptops. And by the way, no weapon formed against shall stand, because I'll tell you, there is no other explanation for how the son of Joe Biden would just hand over his laptops and just decide to tell us that his entire family's been doing this. What kind of country do you want to live in? And who's in charge? I'm dedicating my next 17 days of my life to sleep 3 hours a night, crisscrossing the country, red-eye flights, to speak anywhere that'll have me, do 2 podcasts a day, 2 radio shows a day, because I truly believe that this election is the turning point election, is the election that will determine the future of our country. People ask me all the time, they say, what's your political philosophy? I say, it's very simple. On November 3rd, my political philosophy is this. We win, they lose. Thank you guys so much. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Make sure to send this episode to your friends. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.